Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson, home of the biggest selection of Harley-Davidsons in the Midwest. I-29 south of the airport, or shop online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
Mahomes lost it, and Mahomes floats it up, intercepted. Big mistake. Mahomes didn't want to take the sack. Instead, it's a pick.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
Mahomes, a rope to Tyreek Hill. Touchdown, Kansas City. Williams up front. The redirection. Touchdown. Darrell Williams tosses it up. Touchdown, Robinson.
You know, I thought there's a time and a place where you've got to be able to do what we did yesterday, and I thought the guys did a good job of it.
And now, to tell you everything's fixed, Seren Petro.
Right you are, Kay, right you are. Petro in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us on a beautiful 70-something degree fall day.
Not bad.
It doesn't get any better. No clouds. Way off the distance. I can see some. What a beautiful day for a victory Monday with your Kansas City Chiefs. They improved to 500. Wasn't always pretty, but they got it done.
It was rarely pretty.
They got it done. I'm going to be interested to see the pulse of the people after this game. Curtis, your prediction on the pulse of the people. Oh, boy, how about this team? It's a Super Bowl winner, or this team still sucks.
I think
they think they can win a game, go anywhere in the playoffs? Like, insert Gary's voice here, in Illinois. You know, I'm kind of thinking I hear Gary in Illinois coming two guns blazing after this kind of victory.
To tell you what all the problems are, I think the fan base is going to be of the opinion that it was good to get that win, but not everything's fixed. I don't think they're quite on board with, all right, we're good. At least based on my mentions. I think people are kind of like it, but there's a little bit of, hey, it's just Washington. Hey, that still sucked. Hey, they still had some problems there. But I think you'll see some people. There'll be some unbridled optimism.
Anyone who will be, whether it be anyone who's at, what's that drop? These guys are the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
No.
There better not be.
There'll be more irrational optimism than there is irrational pessimism.
Sam McDowell will be with us in the 3 o'clock hour. Chiefs beat writer for the Kansas City Star in the 4 o'clock hour. We hit the drill around the country talking to the people, covering the stories where they're happening. Going to go to New Orleans, right? Ed Orgeron out.
Ew.
Here's $17 million to not coach, because we know you can only win a championship in the SEC if your name is in Alabama, if your coach is in his first 3 years.
Yes.
See Gene Chizik, you know, even Gus Malzahn getting there in his first or second year, but not winning. Coach O, $17 million, go away. So we'll go to New Orleans. We're going to go to...
Go money.
Phoenix and Milwaukee.
Talk Arizona football in Phoenix. That's what that's all about. Probably the undefeated Cardinals, I'm guessing.
No, I think we're going to get hot and heavy into the Arizona State Sun Devils.
Huh?
Break it down.
Coach Herm.
Somebody, I don't think we'll probably do that.
I think you were on the text that was going around. Spencer Rattler, next year's starting ASU Sun Devil.
I saw a tweet that there were five schools they listed as possibles if he enters the portal.
I wonder if any of those teams have let him know that he can start for them yet. I wonder if that kind of communication goes on in college football.
It was UCLA, Georgia, Arizona State. I can't think of the two.
Kansas.
The Jayhawks are all over him.
I can't remember who else it was.
But anyway, yes, we'll go to those locales.
Yep.
Adam Schefter. In the 4 o'clock hour, we will talk about what's going on in the NFL. Also talk about, we'll start with, he was in Emailgate.
Mm-hmm.
his story.
I love it when people put gate on
I do too. I love to do it because I know it pisses you off.
I actually did
That's why I do it now.
I actually did it over the weekend intentionally. It's ironic.
Trent Green is in the air, Curtis.
He is.
Coming back from London. He's across the pond.
He's flying back.
He's flying back, so we don't have Trent today. Matt Burdaram from Fansided does a great job covering the NFL. He'll join us in the 5 o'clock hour. We start with your Kansas City Chiefs. So I know Travis is lining up. He'll lead us off here in a couple of minutes. 913-3810-810, the phone number. If you want to grab a line, Chiefs sporting disappointing 2-1 loss on the pitch in Vancouver last night. Royals, I don't know what's going on with the Royals right now. Asa Lacy, I guess, is pitching well in the Arizona Fall League.
That's nice.
According to Alec Lewis of The Athletic, as I continue to read his fine work.
Dave Roberts continues to go with future postseason starting pitchers as relievers.
Yeah.
Despite less than stellar
results.
Outcomes.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, Max Scherzer just told me his arm felt dead.
Well, get him out there.
Four innings in. Let's get Julio Urias up in the eighth inning. Let's get our game four starter out there. See how that goes.
What could go wrong, really?
Yeah, boy.
I ask you, what could go wrong? So, anyway, we've got a lot to get to here today in the program. Also, Missouri, K-State, KU. Not a lot of positivity there.
Oh, man. Two schools who are like, eh. Yeah.
We're starting with the Chiefs, but you've had a great point. The last 2 weeks for you and your Missouri Tigers.
Yeah. Two of the last 3 weeks, the Missouri Tigers have given up 21 points before I was able to get out of bed. And I don't sleep that – I didn't sleep that late.
After 11, clearly.
Yeah, after 11, but mid-first quarter. I was like – because all the jokes were about how, you know, they wouldn't let me get to the bathroom and to the couch before they gave up a touchdown against Tennessee. And after a week – 2 weeks of telling that joke, I wake up at 11:30 or so Saturday morning, 21-0. All right. Good times.
A little bit of the honeymoon seems to be done with Chris Klieman, too. K-State folks had some venom. I'm not sure why this was the toughest stretch. I get Iowa State had fallen out of the polls, but let's be honest, they're not finishing lower than third in this league, are they? Fourth, I guess, maybe. But I think they're a top three team and maybe playing for the conference championship. And so I don't get where losing to Iowa State. You knew this was the tough spot in your schedule, yet the venom I saw on Twitter from Cat fans is like, oh, that's it. We've had all we can take.
One, three in conference, average margin of defeat 10 points isn't great, but have you seen Missouri?
Have you looked down the road in Lawrence?
You seen Missouri losing by 30? I think a lot of Kansas fans, and I caught a couple KU, well, at least one guy, going, oh, Missouri tears. I'm like, you seen your team play? But they kind of expect that. K-State's at the point now where they're like, oh, we were looking good there a couple years ago, and last year, hey, we're a 7, and they think they're ready to rock. And I think a lot of Missouri fans thought they were ready to rock, and this has not been looking good for them.
I think you need to be careful. I think Kansas fans recognize that basketball practice has begun, and it's about time for you to shut your mouth, Curtis.
True that.
Jed, just wave the weed over there. There it is.
But hey, don't bring a football to a basketball fight.
Is it all fixed with the Kansas City Chiefs? I actually saw that was one of the headlines, I think, on CBS. Is it all fixed for the Chiefs? I don't know. Define fixed. Like, did they win? Yes. Are they back within a game of the lead in the AFC West? Yes. Did they play an excellent second half? Yes. Mick Schaefer had a good point. He said, I would have bet you at no point this year would they have had a shutout for even one half of football against anybody left on their schedule. They did that against Washington. Did they hit rock bottom? I think that's kind of where we were. Was rock bottom halftime? Was it looking around like, okay, yes, we thought we owned Buffalo. And we knew we just had to clean up the turnovers. And we couldn't do it against Buffalo. And, yes, we lost for the first time in a regular season game with Patrick Mahomes by more than a score. But these clowns, we're going to kick all over the field. And they won't be able to take the ball away from us. And we certainly won't give it away. And in the first half, I'm going to tell you, it was, we suck, was, I think, Hurricane's text to me. We suck. I had another number of them like, this team's not going to the playoffs. One said, this is just a bad football team.
I was seeing seasoned NFL followers tweeting that out.
2-3, and the returns you're getting on the game against football team, I mean, I get it. I never was there yet. I'm like, you know, they've had tough stretches before. They've had tough halves before. Let's go ahead and let the full 60 play out. This wasn't getting away from them the way Buffalo did. This wasn't 17-0 Pats at the half of the first of the AFC Championship game in 2018, or even, 21-3 at the half of that Sunday night game in 18. Mm-hmm. Like, there have been some bad halves of football that have come back for the Chiefs to make a great game of it or even win it. It was, 24-0 Texans?
Yeah, after one.
That's a rough go. 13-10 against football team? A team that no one thinks is going back to the playoffs?
And you're getting the ball to start the second half. You're not feeling that bad.
I wasn't that far down, but I get it. I'm not saying people were wrong to arrive at that point. I do get it. But is that the wake-up call? Is that the wake-up call that has this team embracing what they need to be? On the defensive side of the ball, many more snaps. All the snaps for Juan Thornhill. What was it roughly? What was the snap count on?
I think he was at 32%.
32% of the defensive snaps for Dan Sorensen. They flip-flopped the way the two of those guys have been playing. And I think we saw significant results. Nick Bolton played more. Anthony Hitchens got hurt, but maybe this is the showcase that they needed to see of life without Anthony Hitchens. They didn't fall off the table.
The inadvertent burning the boats. You know, they got
I've been
the
on it for a while.
For him.
Yeah. If people are new to the program, I've said for a while that, you know, was it Cortez who brought his armies over and then burnt the boats to let him know there's no going back. There is no retreat. We go forward or we die. And to me, I think that you can make a case that Brett Veach and or Andy Reid needed to just cut some of the players so that they weren't even an option. Like, why is Dan Sorensen playing so much? I don't know, but I'll solve that. You know, Billy Beane. Trading away Carlos Pena.
You can't play Pena.
You're not going to play Pena tonight. Yes, I am. I'm the manager. You're not going to play Pena tonight. Why? Because I traded him. Right? If you can get anything for the guys, but, you know, fresh legs need to get on the field. They did. And, no, it's not handling Buffalo's offense, but it's a start. It's a beginning. And it was a positive. They shut out the football team in the second half. That's definitely a step in the right direction. Juan Thornhill played. They figured out how to scheme with Juan Thornhill on the field, and the results were good. I think offensively they faced their fears yet again. Two interceptions and a lost fumble, yet they were still able to hang 31 points on the board. This team very easily could have been 37-45 on the day.
Oh, yeah.
They threw a pick at the 5. Mahomes was 3rd-and-1 when he threw the other pick at the 20 or so?
Yeah, at the 20, yeah.
So that's 6 more points. I mean, Butker knocks that through the park. Their punter still only punted twice for a long of 34.
Goo boy.
I mean, that's not impressive. So they didn't even play that well, and they won by 18 points on the road in the NFL. Now, I will caution this. For whatever reason, football team can't hang with the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs are now 10-1 as a franchise against football team.
And the one loss was almost 40 years ago.
Joe Theismann authored that loss in the midst of a year that they would go on to win the Super Bowl. That was 83, wasn't
play
it?
Play in the Super Bowl. They lose to the
Raiders in the Super Bowl. They were defending Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
And would actually have a better record, I think. Would be 14-2.
14-2.
And then lose to the Raiders. So, you know, hey, is it all fixed? No. I mean, it's not done. It's not a complete. But is it on its way to being fixed? Yeah. Yeah, I think absolutely. Positive strides were taken. So I'm curious where the confidence level is. Odds makers, now part of this is because the Chargers cooperated and lost. They fall down to 4-2. The Broncos fall to 3-3. The Raiders got the win. One of those two had to win. So 4-2, the Chiefs are now just a game out in the AFC West. The Chiefs are now, again, the favorite to win the division. Now, you can win the division at 10-7. If you think the division sucks, 9-8 for everybody else, or maybe 6-11 for the Broncos, the way they're kind of falling apart, and 9-8 for the Raiders, 9-8 for the Chargers, you know, you can get there at 10-7 and be division champs. But, I mean, I think it's significant to note that the odds makers put the Chiefs back in as the favorite to win the division. One game. Chargers played a good Baltimore team. They got destroyed. As much as everybody loves the Chargers, if you're just to use a common opponent as a measuring stick, the Chiefs look significantly better against the Ravens, who needed a lucky, or I don't say lucky, needed to force a turnover at the end of the game to get the victory. You know, the Chargers were never in that game.
On a day when Lamar Jackson, being touted for as an MVP, really was subpar. One touchdown through the air, nothing on the ground, two interceptions, fewer than 200 yards in total offense. That's a game, or man, about that. That's a game that you shouldn't lose 34-6.
Right.
But when you run the ball for 25 yards or whatever, that a little bit of the shine came off the Chargers yesterday.
Yeah, I think so as well. We, you know, Staley's been a runaway freight train of success. He's been very good in the postgame press conferences, which is a reason to be confident that they're not going to fall apart.
Yeah. Had a great week as far as the comments on John Gruden's emails.
He kind of handled this situation great. I mean, I think there's still a lot to like about the Chargers, but now the Chiefs are now again the betting favorite. Now they need to carry that forward by going and taking on a Tennessee Titan team that will come off a short week. They play tonight against the Buffalo Bills, a game that they should be sky high for. And, you know, you question whether or not the emotional tank will be on empty when the Chiefs come calling next week. So it's a good spot. Is it all fixed? No. I'll answer that question after they handle business against the Titans. Fixed as in back to being the favorite in the AFC for the Super Bowl, or at least maybe co-favorite with the Ravens, or second favorite as they probably were entering the 2019 playoffs. They were the second favorite team behind the Ravens, maybe even third because the Patriots flubbed a game at the end to give the Chiefs the 2 seed. But are they to be back there? This was a beginning. Handle business against the Titans. Crush the Giants. And then find a way to beat the Packers at home, and yeah, they're back. That's what it's going to take. The answer is no, they're not fixed yet, but they started fixing things with this game on Sunday.
Yeah, right before the second half kickoff, I tweeted out, and I think everyone was on board with this. I mean, everyone had the same idea, so I'm not saying that's any great analogy, but I said the next half of football is probably the biggest one. This is where you got 30 minutes left in this game. What's it going to be?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Are you going to keep fiddly farting around and doing this crap, or are you going to show me something? Go out there and be great. I kind of imagine that as being my thought. They got as much as that team could get out of those 30 minutes.
Yeah.
The absolute held the Washington to fewer than 80 yards total offense, 3 nice touchdown drives. The offense looked fantastic. Everything looked right. But as you said, go out and lay a dud in Nashville, and yesterday meant nothing. Build on this, and maybe you can look back at that halftime and say, that's where it all flipped. And every championship team seemingly has that moment in the season where they think that the script was flipped. It may have been halftime yesterday, but we won't know until – it sounds like a bad answer. I'd like to say, yes, it was, but the truth is
– But I think the arrow's back to pointing up.
Yes.
The arrow's back to pointing up.
Absolutely.
Or at least it's parallel.
That was the first time. The second half yesterday was the first time they've looked like the Super Bowl champion Chiefs since maybe the year they won it. There weren't that many games last year where they looked like that. There were a couple first halves of games. You know, Miami, there were a couple. But
The Bills playoff game, they looked impressive.
Yeah, it's never the first time they've looked like that this year.
Yeah. 913-3810-810. We'll take your phone calls next. 913-3810-810. Got a couple lines open. Grab them right now. You're listening to the program brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North. Man, I'll tell you what. If you got a bike, get on it and ride today. It is absolutely perfect. Perfect day to be on a Harley. If you want a new Harley, used Harley, Worth Harley-Davidson has got you covered. Go see Rick Worth and his great, great team at Worth Harley-Davidson. Find him online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com.
The program with Soren Petro.
That is trash!
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB, talking Chiefs football here to get things started. Chiefs win. Is this the turning point? Did they hit rock bottom at halftime against football team and turn in the right direction? We saw the younger players get more snaps. I think it's overdue. I'm not going to say long overdue because I think this team is good enough that you don't have to make reactionary judgments. You want to make sure once you go down that road that there's no coming, you know, not that there's no coming back, but that's the road you want to stay going down and not be jerking personnel around. So I'll probably be, you know, I was frustrated, like most, that the changes on defense weren't coming. They have come, and I'm not going to spend all my time complaining that they didn't come earlier. Should they have come sooner? Well, based upon the results we saw in this game, yes. Let's see what happens when Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, and Ryan Tannehill are firing at you. Let's wait and see. Yep. Early on, you're supposed to be good against this team. Maybe they'd have been just as good or better with the older guys playing, but I think this is a step in the right direction. 913-810-810. We start with Travis. You're in the program, Travis. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, buddy. Nice talking to you again. So last week I called and we talked a little bit about, you know, we were kind of panicking, or we were at least, you know, alert to what was going on, them not playing well. And one of the things I wanted to see was the coaching staff come out and make changes, not just scheme changes necessarily, but, you know, personnel changes, and do what was best for the team and not best for an individual player, or, you know, a loyalty or something like that. And they did, and I was impressed. I couldn't believe they did it, to be completely honest with you. I was really excited to see, and it worked. That's the thing, right? Like, they made the adjustment, the change, and it worked. So hopefully they don't back off that and they keep, you know, with being willing to evaluate their own decisions and their own personnel, like Big Red says that they do. But then the other thing, I've been hearing a lot of people just bag on Mahomes, and I know that he's not above criticism. I understand that. But did people think that he was just some kind of immortal god that was never going to make a mistake and never going to have a bad game or even two? I mean, you got guys in the national media like Dan Orlovsky. You know, I usually like that guy, and he's asking questions like, what's wrong with Patrick Mahomes? Is he overhyped? I mean, like, do you guys even watch this team? Do you even watch how awesome this offense is? They have X amount of turnovers, and they're still the most proficient offense in the league. It's like, I feel like these national guys don't even pay any attention at all to what is actually going on with these games. But that's all I got. I appreciate it, and have a good day.
All right. Thanks, Travis. Appreciate the call. Appreciate the kind words. I agree with you. I think there is, you know, do they watch the game? Not like we do, right? They're trying to watch every game on the weekend, which, you know, this weekend, take out the Thursday night game, take out the Monday night game, the Sunday night game, take out the two games that were lost to bye weeks, and you have, what, 11 games? And I think eight of them were played in the early slot, three of them in the late slot. So when the Chiefs were playing, there were seven other games. Did they watch it like we did? No. And what they saw was a box score that showed two more picks for Patrick Mahomes. They saw a highlight for sure that was a brutal throw by Mahomes, probably the worst decision of his time as a Kansas City Chief. And they saw another INT. They didn't see that necessarily. And I'll stick up for Tyreek Hill. This wasn't just like the last one. This was a little more difficult catch than people realize. He's not, and then the throw could have been
slipped,
a little better.
He slipped and was slipped. Was in the process of getting back to his feet when the ball was released.
He's not a 6'5 guy with, yeah, you know, 9.5-inch hands, okay? His catch radius is smaller. He's not going to just pluck the ball the same way because his hands just aren't as big. They're big for his height, you know, for an average guy, but for NFL wideouts, they're not huge hands. And so
that was bad luck on a timing throw.
Yeah. I mean, it happens. And that's to me where I see the positive, because I see it all going south again. To me, at halftime, it would have been really easy for this team to say, I mean, we're just doomed. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, we know we don't want to turn the ball over, yet we did it. And here, our Lord and Savior Patrick Mahomes has just made the worst decision of his career. Like, I think it would have been really easy to mail it in, come out and muck around in a messy, sloppy second half, and maybe get out with a 3-point win. But that's not what happened. They flipped the switch and they handled business. Mecole Hardman fumbled again. You know, there was every reason. And instead, the defense finally got some takeaways.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Dana continues to play at a high level.
One, which tells you, and won by 18 when they could have piled
they
it
were,
up.
But they took it away twice.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They were still minus one, yet they still won by 18 and could have piled up even more than that.
Right. All three was the Hardman fumble in the first half or second?
I think it was in the second quarter.
Was
right before.
Okay.
It was the possession, yeah, before the Mahomes pick, I think, or maybe two possessions.
So three turnovers in the first half, but they hadn't taken the ball away since week two against Baltimore, and they got that.
Yeah.
Michael Dana stripped the ball. Smart play. Number one, he handled the block, disengaged from the block. Ooh, novel concept. Because for a lot of the Chiefs defensive linemen, that has been, oh, well, he blocked me, so I can't make a play.
Which is why you don't force turnovers. If you got both hands trying to get away, you can't knock the ball out.
Right? And he, you know, I thought did a great job of maintaining gap responsibility. He was where he was supposed to be. He was proficient enough to be able to hold the man up, keep his gap, disengage, stop the ball carrier first and foremost, mm-hmm. not just lunge at. It was textbook. Stop the ball carrier, then knowing that the ball carrier stopped, then take the football away. Yeah. That's a tremendous play.
Yep.
And he needs to play more. Like, when Chris Jones comes back, you want to make Frank Clark a situational pass rusher? You want to make Frank Clark a situational run defensive end? Because I haven't seen any pass rush, really.
He had the one play where he kind of stunted, looped around, and forced an errant throw, but he didn't really get his hands on the guy.
If you think Frank Clark is going to knock some rust off and play at a high level, fine. Then Michael Dana at DN and Chris Jones back at D-tackle. You don't think so? Fine. Then that's your DN rotation. Those three guys. Because Michael Dana's playing at high level. His pressure percentage is still not the best, right? But, you know, he's not winning at some unreal percentage where it's like, wow, this is one of the great pass rushers in football. But what he is becoming a guy who can allow you to no longer need to keep signing Alex Okafor 10 minutes before the season starts at the veteran mm-hmm. minimum. He just can come in and play steady football at the end. And I think getting him out there, getting the linebackers out there, which they did, I think all those things bode well for where this team is going.
Yeah, and if you got Frank Clark playing the way you thought he was going to play and Chris Jones playing inside dominant, then Michael Dana can be a guy who, you know, plays effective defensive and occasionally makes a big play, and it's huge. It's the problem is so much is expected because no one else is doing anything.
Right. I think one thing for sure, Michael Dana needs to play more yes. football. And they got the takeaway that they had not, you know, just to get one finally and then would get another one. And I think that's an important part of the process for this team, for this defense, to make some progress. You know, I think, listen, I'll be honest with you. Maybe I'll put it out there as a Twitter poll. I don't think people want to weigh in yet. I mean, the answer is it fixed? Are they going in the right direction? I don't know. I think everyone's answer is like, wake me after the Packer game. All right, that's fine.
Which I kind of like that the yeah. fans actually are thinking, hey, let's not get crazy here.
I think there's an element of that. But when you can see Juan Thornhill play 100% of the defensive snaps and they give up 13 points. Yeah. Dan Sorensen played 32% of the snaps. I think that's a pretty good number.
And there were some plays, I can't think, I mean, I spot him, it was 3rd and 6, 27. But there were 3 or 4 plays that I saw Juan Thornhill in on that I'm like, I don't think 49 gets there.
81% of the snaps for Frank Clark, 59 for Michael Dana. That needs to change. Right? When Chris Jones comes back, it needs to be at the expense of Frank Clark snaps. If you stay the course with him because you say, okay, we're going to find the rust, and you need to set a time where at this point, no more. At this point, we don't give him any more. We say we are where we are, and he is what he is. There's no more. You have to yeah. set a time where no longer are we, well, you know, he's still knocking some rust off. Okay, how long does that take? Like, we've set a time on Josh Gordon. Mm-hmm. Josh Gordon didn't play much. We said, listen, you got to wait at least 7 weeks. You got a guy coming in, learning a new offense. I know he said at the podium last week, well, it's a lot like the Browns offense, and I'm sure there are similarities. But if you really want to know, can Josh Gordon help this team? 7 weeks of training camp. He's coming into a new team, learning a new quarterback, at least somewhat of a new offense, probably a lot of a new offense, to be honest with you. I think it's probably window dressing to say, yeah, it's similar to what we had in Cleveland. I doubt it. Not that long ago. And so, same thing. All right, Frank Clark, you know, he was down. He really didn't get training camp. He was out. We need to give him, what, 4 weeks, 5 weeks? But at that point, then, there's no longer a reason to play someone just because of their contract. The money is spent.
Yeah.
Whether the guy plays good or plays bad, the money is spent. You have to play the best players, and that began in Washington.
They had 4 players on the defense that played every snap, and it was their starting quartet in the secondary: Snead, Fenton, Matthew, and Thornhill. Frank Clark was the of those, other than those 4, he had the highest percentage of snaps at 48. That's an issue.
A shutout in the second half. Anthony Hitchens played only 11 snaps. Nick Bolton played 39. I'm not here to tell you that Nick Bolton, I think Nick Bolton is going to be a more athletic Anthony Hitchens. I haven't seen great coverage skills out of him. He's not Bobby Wagner.
No.
But he will stop the run. And I think more importantly, what was found out in this game is we keep hearing about, oh, Hitch, you know, he gets everybody lined up, such a smart player and everything. Well, they didn't fall off a cliff.
No.
No, it wasn't like everybody's running around going, I don't know where to go. Where do I go? Where's Hitch? No, they lined up and they played well. So I think the idea that we just have to have Anthony Hitchens out here regardless, and let's get Nick Bolton out there and let's see Nick Bolton cover some people. Let's get enough snaps of him in coverage to find out whether he can or can't cover. The one that, you know, is maybe a little disappointing, only 18 snaps, 31% of the defensive snaps for Willie Gay. That one is the one that's a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, he had fewer snaps this week than he did last week when people weren't even sure he was going to be on the field.
More Derek Nnadi is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the more he can play, it was 68% of the snaps, 40 snaps for Reed. Derek Nnadi got 31. That needs to continue to flip-flop and go the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And if Reed isn't performing, it doesn't matter that you gave him $7 million. The best guys have to play. The money spent. The money spent. Play the guys that are making the plays. And I think there's a lot of reason to believe that this defense will continue to get better. Will it become great? Will it become good enough to win a Super Bowl? I don't know. But I think it's going to be better with the youth served, and we saw it. And so that's a good sign if you're a fan, is what a lot of people have asked for. And maybe this is what Steve Spagnuolo was waiting for. Like, listen, we're going to go through murderer's row with these teams. I don't want to put these guys out here and crush their confidence. Let's play with the veterans. Let's do as well as we can. And then let me unleash the young guys against the lesser teams. Now, I don't know that that counts on the Titans, but it definitely does with football team, and it definitely does with the Giants. And that these are the two games where we're going to really try to get the young guys up to speed. I'm all for that. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, if that was the game plan, I'd like to believe that with 7 weeks of training camp, you can get them ready to go. That it doesn't take that kind of setup. But if that's your logic, okay, let's go from here, because who wins the Super Bowl will be defined by games that are played long after now.
Yeah. They still had one play where they looked like the previous, the long touchdown. When you watch the all 22, you can see it on the live shot. It's rare when you see a coverage blown that badly on the live shot.
Right.
But when three guys rush on one side, rush for one receiver, and the other two guys are like, hey, they were separated by about 12 feet, and they both were like, wide open down here, hello. And Heinicke just had to pick which one, and he picked the guy who was closest, Ricky Seals-Jones. But other than that, they didn't have a lot of that.
Former Chiefs, great.
Yes, former Chief, yes. They didn't have a lot of that, but that play was just like, oh, God.
We'll talk more about Ricky Seals-Jones. We'll talk about Darrell Williams and the running game, what they were able to get done. 913-810-810. We're talking Chiefs football. You're in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
You know, when you're running with Chubbs and Hunt, everybody, you know, Browns fans are all, that's what we do.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you, Curtis Siebold, authoring the Sports Center. Chad Marshall running the operation. We're talking Chiefs football, 31-13. They get going in the right direction against the football team. Tennessee up next. You get a chance to scout them tonight on Monday Night Football. You'll hear it right here on the home of the National Football League, Sports Radio 810 WHB. 913-3810-810. Marty waiting patiently. You're in the program, Marty. What's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, buddy. What's on your mind?
A couple of quick things. The one's about the running backs. I mean, Darrell Williams looks fine the way he always does. I like to see McKinnon get a few more reps, too. He always runs pretty hard. And it's kind of validated what I've been saying for a long time, is when you have a, you know, premier quarterback like we have, or like with hats off Brady, you know, average running backs do good because the defense is a lot of times a nickel or a good offensive line. I mean, we already drafted a Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but so that's just already spent, but hopefully he doesn't get a second contract and we find, you know, veterans and solid running backs going away forward. And then Ben Neiman, I feel like, should be the next person to get off the field. I don't know if since Hitchens went down, he has to be on the field if we're going to play with Bolton Gay, but I feel like he's the next security blanket from Spagnuolo that needs to go.
Yeah, I got your back on that. 43 snaps for Ben Neiman, Willie Gay, 18 snaps. At some point, no, that's got to flip around. Ben Neiman is.
Yeah, it has to do with his mental. His, you know, he tweeted about his mental health, what's going on. I don't know if that's it or what, but I mean, I just don't know why that's going on. And then Matthew had another tantrum eruption. He's allowed to blow someone up. He missed the sack. I don't see him making a bunch of huge plays. I want to get your guys' thoughts on that.
All right. I appreciate it, Marty. Tyrann Mathieu, thank you for the call. Tyrann Mathieu did blow a guy up on the sideline. I mean, he had a big physical play. He also missed a tackle. There was a Twitter exchange. Tyrann Mathieu likes to tweet and then delete it. He did that in this case. But there was a Twitter exchange between he and Josh Briscoe. And Josh Briscoe said, well, I wonder if Dan Sorensen should throw his hands on his helmet and wave his arms around after Tyrann Mathieu missed the sack. And Tyrann Mathieu saw it and fired back. Said he had a broken thumb. Couldn't grab anyone, mm-hmm. and kind of went back and forth with Josh Briscoe. He later deleted those tweets. But I will grant you, I don't think anybody, when the defense is ranked last in the NFL, nobody really has a position to sit and talk any trash. On that side, I think Tyrann Mathieu needs to play better. I think his contract has certainly been a discussion point a lot. A lot of people have wanted to see him get that contract. And, you know, he needs to make plays. I don't disagree. I don't think Tyrann Mathieu needs to come off the field, though. But to your point, Ben Neiman, listen, plays in coverage and is yet to tip a pass.
Still one of the more amazing running statistics that, like, I've ever heard.
That is, like, you know, the next hurdle to clear. Willie Gay out there as the guy. Like, undrafted guys, it's great when you find them. It's Ben Neiman has been a personnel decision success story. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same thing with Dan Sorensen. But when you draft second rounders to be better than them, they've got to get on the field and be better than them. You certainly can't draft three of them and have them all watch. Thornhill finally got on the field for Sorensen. Bolton, because of injury, got on the field for Hitchens. Gay needs to be on the field for Ben Neiman.
And occasionally he's going to blow a coverage and be in the wrong spot for a big third down play. But every once in a while, he's going to be there for an amazing play, maybe a pick. Maybe he'll get around and stop a running back out of the backfield and not let him gain 10 or 12 yards. It does seem like that flat pass to the where the guy comes in motion and then just flares out. I was like, that's 10 yards every single time. It's like they've never seen it before. Maybe Willie Gay stops that.
The one where they, you know, the only guy on that side, it's like they clearly had scouted and seen the flaw in the Chiefs coverage that Fenton was one-on-one and that he was going to run with the receiver. They just ran the receiver up the field, which left that whole side of the field empty. There was nobody on the underneath. Is that because you're asking a linebacker to run out there? Then put a faster linebacker on the field.
Yeah, and as far as I mentioned it in the last segment, but just I looked at some stats here just to make sure. As far as the situation with his mental health, the week before against Buffalo, when no one knew he'd even play, he played 25 snaps, 44%. It wasn't like they had more snaps. They had actually had two fewer snaps last week than this week. He played 25 snaps against Buffalo, and he only played, what was it? I don't know, lost it, 18 or so against, it was 18 against Washington. So it's 44% to 31% for Willie Gay.
Yeah, this is, listen, and I know Brett Veach, he's the general manager, should always be in the crosshair. So should Andy Reid, right? They make the decisions. But if you're drafting guys that the coaching staff says they want, which we don't know, we weren't in the draft, you know, prep meetings, but if they're drafting guys that meet the coaching staff's approval and the coaching staff can't get them on the field, then the coaching staff needs to be changed. Right, and I will offer up that if this wasn't rock bottom, if they're not turning the corner, if they're going to continue to be choppy, if they're going to go back to Anthony Hitchens and Dan Sorensen and the young guys aren't going to get out there, then they've got to look at changing up the coaching staff. Are they just too chummy and everybody's too good of friends to not come and make the difficult statements, right? If you hire a guy and you think he's playing and he's brand new and you haven't coached with him 16 of the last 25 years, you'll go over and tell him, listen, what are you doing? Put this guy on the field. We draft him in the second round for a reason. If the fact that there's this comfort, you know, this comfortable relationship, well, you know, Spags knows what he's doing. He's not the head coach. And ultimately, that's on Andy Reid to go say, why is this guy not getting on the field? Yep. Brett Veach can ask that question as well, but it's Andy Reid that ultimately has to say on game day, put these people on the field. There's plenty of NFL films back when they used to actually get coverage, back before it started sucking, because now they don't get any access whatsoever to the coaches. But there's plenty of old-school NFL films of coaches asking their assistant coaches why so-and-so's not on the field. Hey, Dan, are you going to get your big people on the field?
Yeah, I can't remember who that was. I remember that clip, though.
Right? I mean, there are tons of those. That's you know, if they can't consistently play the guys that they're drafting high, there's a breakdown. Either the coaches have said these guys can't play and the front office has drafted them anyway, seemingly with Andy Reid. I mean, he's in the war room, clearly. Yeah. So he's right there in the discussions. So Andy Reid's signing off on it. If they're going ahead and drafting guys at the position coaches, because when we talked to Andy Reid about, well, you know, this guy, well, that's really, you know, that's Spags. Spags handles that. That's his position coach. Okay, then you've got to fix whatever that disconnect is. And I'm going to say, I think on Sunday, that disconnect was fixed. I'd like to see Gay out there. If he gets out there, then I think that's kind of the last hurdle to be cleared for this team personnel-wise. Let me give you another personnel one. In this game, Ricky Seals-Jones. 4 catches, 58 yards, and football team's only touchdown. Now, I give credit to the offensive coaching staff for creating a scenario where he's wide open. As you said, Curtis, I mean, not the best defensive coverage. But still, like, he looked like what it was you were hoping he'd be in Kansas City. We had seen those kind of athletic plays with him in a Browns uniform. And yet the Chiefs had never seemed to be able to get him on the field. You know, they clearly have an aspiration to play multiple tight ends. They're doing it now. Maybe Ricky Seals-Jones could not comprehend the offense. This conversation can end right there. It was like, look, there are things you got to know, and he couldn't figure it out, and we can't. He becomes a liability. He's going to get the quarterback killed. Can't play him. If he doesn't understand the check down where he's got to stay in and protect, and he's going to get Mahomes killed, he's got to go. Okay, end of discussion. But if that wasn't it, how is Ricky Seals-Jones gone? And I feel terrible for Fortson, who was confirmed today, blew his Achilles tendon. But drafting Noah Gray in the 5th round, who may develop into something much better, but at least right now is not playing. If you want multiple tight ends, I give credit, like, the front office found a guy who clearly can produce for the football team. Why couldn't this coaching staff get him to produce here? So I know, like, it's real easy. We always want one villain. It's never that easy. Reality is there's some personnel blame. There's some coaching blame. Maybe the coaching blame's being taken away now, and we're going to see the guys play. But, you know, the personnel department said, hey, Ricky Seals-Jones can play. And they brought him in, and he made the team. And then he never got used. And then suddenly when he leaves town, now they want to use multiple tight ends.
And now they really can't, because they've got one guy who's done for the year, one guy who's a rookie, and another guy, Blake Bell, who's hurt.
Back to the point that was being made by Marty about Darrell Williams. Listen, 21 carries for 62 yards. Eric Eager was a little bit negative about how many carries Darrell Williams got. He got 8 in the fourth quarter, which to me is throw to win, run when you're winning. He wasn't real effective. I think it was, 8 carries for 11 yards?
Yeah.
But that's okay. You're trying to burn the clock. You're there. They were getting there. You know, they went into the fourth quarter up 11, right? 24-13.
Yes.
Cashed for another touchdown while bleeding the clock.
Yeah.
So, to me, this was no, I'm sorry. They went
17-13.
17-13.
They scored fairly early in that fourth quarter.
They scored, 14-02 to go. On a Darrell Williams run, by the way. Darrell Williams, solid football player. I like that they got him the ball out of the backfield. They checked down to the running back. But I think you still, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think there's still significantly more athleticism and upside there. I like the combination of the two, big picture-wise.
First end of the hour question, brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, Chiefs, now 10-1 against Washington. How many all-time series are more one-sided than that? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.